Folks, we're going to move on. Pretty much most of the rest of our time together is going to be what we might call the message. The vast bulk of it is just a reading, a story from Scripture. There was once a man from Ephraim whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The first was Hannah and the second was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, Hannah did not. Every year, Elkanah went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as priests of God there. When Elkanah shared the sacrificial meal, he always gave generous portions to Hannah, because he loved her so much and God had not given her children. Her rival, Peninnah, taunted her cruelly, never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year after year, and Hannah was always reduced to tears and lost her appetite because of this. Elkanah, her husband, said, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? Why are you so upset? Am I not of more worth to you than 10 sons? So Hannah ate, pulled herself together, and slipped away to the sanctuary to pray quietly. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. And then she made a vow. O God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll stop neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, then I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy service." As she continued in prayer, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart, silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Come on, sober up, woman." Hannah said, "Oh no, I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think that I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long." Then Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him." "Think well of me and pray for me," Hannah said, and went on her way. Up before dawn, they worshipped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. By the way, that's the Message version, and I love that line. God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what Hannah had asked. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, "I asked God for him." When Elkanah next took his family on their annual trip to Shiloh, Hannah didn't go. She told her husband, "After the child is weaned, I'll bring him myself and present him before God, and that's where he'll stay for good. Elkanah said to his wife, "Do what you think is best. Let God complete what he has begun." So she stayed home and nursed her son, and she took him up to Shiloh. The child was so young to be sent off. Hannah and Elkanah took the child to Eli. Hannah said, "Excuse me, would you believe that I'm the woman who was standing before you praying to God? I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I have dedicated him to God. He is dedicated to God for life." After this, Hannah prayed a great song of praise to God. Then she and Elkanah went home. The boy stayed and served God in the company of Eli the priest. Now Eli's sons, they were a bad lot. They didn't really know God and could not have cared less about the customs of the priests among the people. When someone brought meat to offer to God, they took the meat before it had been offered, roasted it and ate it themselves. If anyone objected, they said, "If you won't give it, we'll take it by force." These sons of Eli knew what they were doing, and right in the presence and sight of God, but they simply didn't care. In the midst of all this, Samuel, a boy dressed in a priestly linen tunic, served God. Eli did take his sons to task, but it was too little, too late. They were too far gone in disobedience and refused to listen to a thing their father said. So God, who was fed up with them, decreed their death. But the boy Samuel was very much alive, growing up, blessed by God and popular with the people. A holy man came to Eli and said, "This is God's message. I revealed myself openly to your ancestors, and I chose your family to be my priests. So now, why do you treat your sons better than me?" says God. "Why do you give them more honour than you give to me?" says God. "There is no way this can continue." The boy Samuel, however, was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. One night, Eli was asleep, and it was well before dawn. Samuel was still in bed. Then God called out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Yes, I'm here." And then he ran to Eli saying, "I heard you call, here I am." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so he did. God called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli. "I heard you call, here I am." And Eli said, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This all happened before Samuel fully knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. God called again, "Samuel," the third time. Yet again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Yes, I heard you call me. Here I am." That's when it finally dawned on Eli that it was God calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, "Go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, you say this, 'Speak, God. I'm your servant, ready to listen.'" And Eli sent Samuel back to his bed. I was just saying I had to act a little bit like a script writer there and edit three chapters of Samuel down to a story that flowed. And what we're going to do now, and there's many, many things each of us can get from that story, I realise that. And I'm just going to pick out a number of them based on the cast. We're going to look at the cast or the characters of the story. We have Eli the priest, who should have known better in a number of areas. We had Hannah, who was only a woman. We had Elkanah, canny husband. We had Samuel, the leader and kingmaker in waiting. And we had Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, proper pieces of work. It's quite a cast, and it's a real mixed bag. And between them, I think they represent pretty much all the places we could be or may be in our relationship with Jesus. And we're going to look at some of them. It is quite a cast. Now, I doubt that any one of us will be entirely with one of them. We will find bits of each of them, I think, that resonate or speak into our lives. And at that point, God will want to work with us. So I think there'll be characteristics and actions in some of them we will recognise, and we will hear God say, you've got to drop them and move on. And there'll be characteristics in some of the people God will say, you need to pick that up and run with that. And I think we'll find that through these characters. But let's reverse the cast list and start at the bottom with the sons of the priest, Eli, who were faithless and who were rebellious. Now, here's the point. I'm not suggesting that any of us are sitting here entirely faithless and entirely rebellious, by the way, because we're not. But here's the principle. This is what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew it was absolutely contrary to what God wanted. And effectively, excuse this, they just stuck two fingers up at God and said, we're going to do it anyway. They didn't care. And for me, what I want to ask myself from them, that part of the cast, is there anything going on in my life? Are there things going on in our lives? Actions, thoughts, words, attitudes. And we know they do not come from God our Father. They don't look a bit like Jesus. They don't honour him. But we continue in them anyway, acting as though we just don't care. Our words may say we do care, but our actions scream that we don't. So when we think of Hophni and Phinehas, they knew what they were doing. They knew God didn't like it, but they didn't care, and they did it anyway. And this isn't to make us feel guilty, because at every point in this story, God gave each participant the opportunity to stop, to reflect, and to turn around. Because God's heart is always to forgive and show grace and mercy. So if we recognise anything in those characters, we just own it, we give it to God, we ask forgiveness, and we move on. But if we do recognise anything, don't ignore it. So who's next? The priest, Eli, for whom God had grown dim. Now, there's a background to that phrase in the Hebrew words there, but that's effectively what it means. God had begun to grow dim to Eli the priest, and that should not have been the case. It's an interesting one, particularly Eli and his sons. If we read the full story, Eli knew what his sons were doing, and he did have a sort of talk with them, but they'd progressed beyond talking. And what Eli should have done, according to the law, was first of all, remove them from service, taking them out of it completely. If we read about the rest of the law, let's just say they wouldn't have lasted much longer. But Eli had a talk, and then basically closed his eyes or turned a blind eye, at least, to the faithlessness and disobedience of his sons. Eli, the Bible says, did not restrain them. He chose to give his sons more leeway and give God less honour. That was a choice that priest made. It was the wrong choice. He was too soft to exercise discipline. And this put a distance between him and God. And the phrase behind what the Bible use is, as Eli's eyes were going dim, the Bible tells us that, as Eli's eyes were going dim, so Eli was getting dim to God. In other words, he just wasn't where he should be with God. There was a distance growing. The relationship was becoming less intimate, less close. And we see that in some of the ways that Eli was being affected by this distance. The fact is, the priest of God should have recognized it was the voice of God talking to Samuel the first time, not the third time. At least he got there in the end, but it shouldn't have been like that. And even worse, in the temple, Eli did not recognize a lady pouring out a heart in distress as a prayer. He thought she was drunk. And that should not have happened. That there were signs of God growing dim to Eli, of the distance between God and the priest widening. So God was growing dim to Eli because of Eli's refusal to deal with things that should be dealt with in his life and in his family. And I wonder of me, and I wonder of us, are there any decisions that we are not making that we should be? Are there any words that we are not speaking that we should be? Are there any actions that we are not doing that we should be? And is the fact that we are not making these decisions, not speaking these words, not doing these actions, is that dishonouring to God? And if so, we do just what we did last time. We own them, we admit it, and we say, sorry, Lord, and we move on. And sometimes we've got to ask God, let the Holy Spirit do a bit of searching in us. We don't dig around doing amateur psychology. We say, search my heart, Lord, and speak to me. And as sure as he answered Hannah's prayer, he will answer that prayer in our lives. Let's move up the cast. The husband who trusted his wife's faithfulness. Elkanah was there with a miracle baby. Let's face it, Samuel was a bit of a miracle baby. A precious baby, the direct result of prayer. And as far as Elkanah was concerned, this was the impossible baby. He didn't think this was ever going to happen. However, the baby was here, part of the family, and I can imagine any father, I'll leave Hannah aside for now, she's the next cast member, any father thinking, this is great. Baby boy, we're going to spend time together, we're going to grow up together, all that's going to happen. And then his wife says, actually, no. I made a vow to God. Hannah said, Samuel is dedicated to a life in God's service. And what we're going to do, husband, is we're going to take him to Shiloh and we're going to leave him there at the temple. And I don't know what Elkanah must have been thinking at that point. Would have been entirely understandable if he'd said, are you a mad woman? What's going on? This is the son we've been waiting for, praying for. But he didn't say that. He said, do whatever seems right to you. Elkanah trusted, despite, I'm sure, what he felt, and despite some of the evidence, he trusted that God was speaking through his wife, and he agreed. And I wondered of me and of us, is there anything that God may be asking of us that we don't understand or we don't know the reasons for, but we've got this sense he's asking us anyway? Maybe it doesn't even make sense, but there's this nagging feeling from the Holy Spirit that he's asking us to do something, to step out in faith, to move out of our comfort zones, to do something we haven't done before, despite our feelings and fears. Again, just listen to the Holy Spirit. Is he asking that? Anything like that of us? Same response. Ask, listen, own it, run with it. That's what God's asking. Penultimate member of the cast, the persistent woman of faith, Hannah. Hannah who would not be put off. Hannah who persisted in her prayer. Hannah who chose to go and pray rather than stoop to the level of her taunter. There's no record that Hannah ever treated her taunter in the wrong way. She chose instead to go and pray and to pour her heart out to God. She sought God's presence rather than seeking revenge. She remembered God's words and she remembered her own vows and she dedicated the son of prayer into God's service. She sought God's presence, she heard God's word and she fulfilled her promise no matter what the cost. Got to be a pattern, has it not, for us? Are there times when instead of doing what we're doing, perhaps to gratify ourselves, perhaps to whatever it is, in her case, she could have got back at her tauntress, but instead she sought the presence of God, she sought the heart of God, she sought the words of God, and then she went through with it. And it's another case where we just say, Holy Spirit, is there anything at all that you're asking of me that requires me to step beyond my comfort zones, to step out in faith? If there is, Lord, let me hear it. Let me hear it as clearly as Samuel did, and let us understand it. And then we move on to the boy himself, Samuel, the boy who desired intimacy with God. The boy who desired intimacy. Samuel, which means God heard. That's why they called him Samuel, because his mother knew he was a direct answer to prayer. And a boy who grew up and was taught to seek closeness, to seek intimacy and to live in that place. The very thing Eli had actually let go of. A boy who grew in intimacy with God. A boy who desired one thing above all others, to be God's servant and to be obedient. It's not that he wouldn't have done other things in his life, but he desired that above all other things, to be God's servant. I've heard you, Lord. Now I'm off to do it. And it's a similar question to the last one from Hannah, but it builds up a bit. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit may be saying to us? And we're sort of getting senses, but we haven't got clarity. Do we need a clearer revelation from God, so that our desire and zeal is to have God's purpose in our lives, to serve God more fully through our daily lives? Are there plans for our future that Jesus wants to put us in training for now? And we can ask those questions of ourselves. We can ask God to open our ears to his voice more clearly. And if we ask these questions that we learn from the cast of this story, I believe, like Samuel, we will hear God clearly. It might need another Christian friend, a brother, a sister, to come and speak to us. It's good to share these things. You know, this talk Craig and I had the other day, he shared, we heard God, God spoke words, things changed. That's how it works. And it works like that in the life of any Christian who, like Samuel, says, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. Amen.